It's Tuesday, and time to read from your comments. Last week, we spoke with two doctors on how they discuss imminent death with their patients and patients' families. Lila, a doctor, emailed us, "Sometimes patients or families project their denial onto us as doctors. Some may be more focused on honesty and others on optimism, misinterpreting honesty as pessimism, and they may blame us, the physician, for their selective listening. Sometimes all one can do is feel one's way through the conversation." We also talked with former NPR correspondent Gwen Tompkins and musician Trombone Shorty about Jazz Fest and the future of New Orleans. Chris Coleman from Atlanta sent us this postcard of New Orleans about a gospel tent at Morningstar Missionary Baptist Church. "My husband and I were moved and somewhat amused by the throngs of folks carried away by the music. Then the final soloist started her song, modestly building to, 'Was it so? Was he actually going to try to sing I Will Always Love You, Whitney's song? Oh, this was going to be awful,' we thought. But, oh my Lord, that lady brought down the house. She crushed it, lifting that high note over and over, saving souls, escalating the crowd to a virtual frenzy. It was amazing and such a gift. That and crawfish beignets to boot, a heavenly weekend." On Thursday, we spoke with Buzz Aldrin about his new book, Mission to Mars, and his hope for Americans to continue to lead in space exploration. Nate Farrington in Syracuse wrote, "I question the purpose behind this grand idea for several reasons. First, we can't even seem to treat the planet we currently inhabit well enough. What gives us the right to take the domineering culture anywhere else? To what end and for what purpose? Second, we can't treat one another very well. There are too many examples to count, but when situations like Cleveland, Ohio, and the Boston bombing stop, I'll be more apt to hear about space exploration. Third, I work in an inner city teaching children in an after-school program. We can't even get enough money to hire staff, provide quality food, and offer activities. Where does the money for the Mars mission come from? I just don't see the need for this now, or, quite frankly, ever." Jeremiah Stilson wrote with another view. "Why go into space? The reason is to instill wonder and excitement in the minds of citizens everywhere. If you're going to question the value of going to Mars, then question the value of every other endeavor on Earth, sports, entertainment, etc. What's the point of any of it? What about science? What about the amazement of setting foot on another planet in our solar system? Doesn't that hold any value? At our core, we are exploratory, curious, and extremely wondering animals. To deny that sense of curiosity and wonder just because there's no tangible value seems wrong." If you have a correction, comment, or question for us, the best way to reach us is by email. The address is talk@npr.org. Please let us know where you're writing from and give us some help on how to pronounce your name. And if you're on Twitter, you can follow us there, @TOTN. And speaking of astronauts, here's a cut of Canadian astronaut Chris Hadfield covering David Bowie's Space Oddity from orbit. Here he is aboard the International Space Station.
"Ground control to Major Tom, the time is near. There's not too long. Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me, Major Tom? Can you hear me?
Talk of the Nation is produced by Jessica Reedy, Natalie Winston, Tinbeat Ermias, A.D. Quigg, and Libby Franklin. Our editor is Sarah Handel. Gwen Uten is our director. Melissa Marquis is our technical director. She gets engineering help from Greg Gavin, Cal Southworth, Neil Tebalt, and Jerry Tennant. Our theme music was composed by Greg Smith. Sue Goodwin is the executive producer. Tomorrow, Howard Deans joins the Political Junkie for a look at the future of the Democratic Party. It's the Talk of the Nation. From NPR News, I'm Neil Conan in Washington.